Good morning. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? Worship with the saints and think about our Savior and how important it is for us to be nearer to Him. In Philippians chapter 2, passage that was just read a little while ago, we want to focus throughout the lesson on verse 5. And verse 5 says, for us, and as Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, he's saying, have this mind or have this attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is establishing in writing to this church is how important it is for us to be like Jesus, to have a heart like Jesus. So we ask several questions then. Like, what if Jesus were to become you? He wakes up in your bed. He walks in your shoes. He lives in your house. He assumes your schedule. Your boss becomes his boss. Your mother becomes his mother. Your pains become his pains. With one exception, nothing about your life changes. Your health, your circumstances, your schedule, your problems, all of that does not change. Only one change takes place. Jesus lives your life with his heart. Your heart gets the day off. Your life is led by the heart of Christ now. What changes? His priorities govern your actions. His passions drive your decisions. His love directs your behavior. What would you be like if that were the case? Would people notice a change in your life? Would your family see something new? Would your co-workers sense some kind of a difference in your life? Would you treat the less fortunate the same that you do now? What about your mood swings? What about your temper? What about every single aspect of your life? So would you see other things differently? Like, look at God's creation. Would you see it differently? Would you view death differently? What would it be like? Would you see sunsets differently? How about your actions in traffic delays? Would that change? Or would that be the same? Would you still dread the things that you are dreading now? Would you still do what you planned for the next 24 hours? Think about your schedule, about your engagement, about your outings, about different aspects of your life. If Jesus were to take over your heart, what would it be like? Remember what we said? Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. This mind that was in Christ Jesus. This mind that needs to be in you. You see what God's plan is. God's plan is that He has a plan for your new heart. And that ends up changing everything. In Ephesians chapter 4, one of the things that Paul talks about, he makes reference to a change that takes place. In those that have become children of God, there is a change. When you become a child of God, you don't stay the same. Your heart is different. God's plan from the beginning was for you to have a new heart. In Ephesians 4, verses 23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. The new man. That after God hath created in righteousness and holiness and truth, put on the new man. Put off the old. Take off the old coat. You see, God loves you. And He loves you just the way that you are, but He refuses to let you stay that way. Your life changes. He wants you, God wants you to be like Jesus now. In everything we do, in everything we say. If our heart were different, would we be saying the same kinds of things? Would we be offering the same kinds of excuses? If our heart were to change, that means that we would not be stuck with the same personality. If you're worried about every day of your life, you needn't worry anymore about the rest of your life. Because now it's the heart of Jesus. I don't know where we got the idea, but some people come up with the excuses all the time that I can't change. That's just the way that I am. So I have a bad temper. That's the way it is. Do we make similar statements about every aspect of our life, offering excuses as to why I am the way I am? Jesus came to make us new and different. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. Put others first. Look at your life differently. But what we do sometimes is we say, I can't help it. That's just the way that I am. Jesus did not die for you so that you could remain just like you are. He died for you so that you could become like Him. What we need to understand is that this heart of Jesus can be my heart. We can change. We can be Christ-like in everything that we do. The question is, do you want to be what Jesus wants you to be? So we're going to look a little bit at some of the, at the heart of Jesus and what that means and what Jesus did and how we can be more Christ-like. The heart of Jesus. First thing is that the heart of Jesus was pure. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, Peter talks about Jesus, this lamb that was without spot or wrinkle or without blemish. He was pure. He talks about that. About if He is pure, we too can be pure. And that is so important for us to understand. In 1 John 3 and verse 5, it is recorded that in Jesus there is no sin. No sin. That has all been taken away. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. This is the purity of Christ. We can become pure like he is. It is suggested throughout the New Testament that we are to be like Christ. Be holy even as he who called you is holy. Be pure even as he is pure. Love even as he loved. Do we understand what that entails with us? You know, oftentimes we really don't want to change. And the reason I say that is because we end up going around and we can see how closed off we have become to anything that Christ wants us to do or to become. There's no point in talking about it if we can't change. He gave his life for us. He didn't sin. We can become holy like he is. We can become love like he is. We can become pure as he is. We can become perfect even as he is perfect. The heart of Jesus was pure. A second thing is the heart of Jesus was also peaceful. He didn't fret over the feeding of the 5,000 like his disciples did. His disciples were concerned, what are we going to do? Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew. If you turn over to John chapter 6, we're going to read down through verse 14. And as we read through this, I want you to notice the difference between Jesus' thinking and the thinking of his disciples. Beginning in verse 1, it says, After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or to Tiberias. And a great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. But Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing this great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. He knew. But his way of thinking was different than the disciples. Philip answered him and he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, and in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also with the fish as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is of a truth the prophet who has come into the world. He didn't fret. He knew what he was doing. In his kingdom, that's how we should look at things. Understanding that Jesus has the power and that Jesus can change the hearts of men. But what Jesus did, Indeed, he was peaceful. There were times when the disciples abandoned him. But he didn't pout and go home and say and get frustrated. When Peter denied him, he didn't lose his temper. When the soldiers spit at him and mocked him, he didn't retaliate. He forgave. This is what the heart of the Lord does. It changes the way that we view life. The heart of Jesus is also purposeful. And so should our hearts be purposeful. In Luke 19 and verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his purpose. He never lost sight of his purpose and what he was here on this earth to do. And he knew through the Father what the situation would be like. In John 2 and verse 4, one of the things that he says is, "Mine hour is not yet come." His purpose is not fulfilled yet. In John 19 and verse 30, Jesus' life is on the line. And what he says, when he's on the cross, he says, "It is finished." His heart was a purposeful heart. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to redeem mankind. That was his purpose. And he was never distracted from his purpose, even though his disciples oftentimes were distracted. But he was not. His heart was also pleasant. Turn over to Matthew 18, if you will. Matthew 18, the first six verses. He had an attitude of compassion towards those who were less fortunate. He always took care. He also always thought about the orphans and the widows, the children. So in chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and sat him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea.'" There are those who are less fortunate than we. Jesus thought about them. He spent days and hours with the sick and with the lame and with the sinners and the hurting. He spent time with those who were spiritually broken. That tells us something about our attitude towards those who are spiritually broken and in need. We sing songs about coming to Jesus just like we are. Just as I am. But as we said from the beginning, Jesus didn't come to keep me away. He came and he sacrificed himself so that we might be one with him. He was also prayerfully spiritual. And I say it that way because there are aspects of his life that touch on the very things that we deal with. The very things that we do. He had a relationship with the Father. Do not we want a relationship with the Father? Jesus tells us how we are to approach the Father. Our Father who art in heaven. We have the privilege of calling him our Father and going to him. He says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. John talks about in the book of 1 John about how we are to abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. In Luke 4 and verse 16, it says, he entered as was his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. The words of God were important to him. He used it as his shield against Satan. But that was his custom, was to read. As our custom should be. He also in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. There were times that he withdrew himself in the deserts and prayed, it says. In the deserts and he prayed. His relationship with the Father was intimate. Just like our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with the Father should be intimate as well. But do we look at it that way? The heart of Jesus, that is what we're after, is to have the same kind of heart. Thinking about the same kinds of things, doing the same things that Jesus did, because our heart has now been changed. We must have this same heart. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says this. It says, for I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Things have changed. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives with me, in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 talks about a transformation that takes place, that we are transformed and we are changed into the image of Christ. That's what Jesus wants us to be. It's what God wants us to be. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, Paul talks about the fact that we have the mind of Christ. That's exactly what we read in the beginning in Philippians. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. What about your mind? What about your life? What about changes that should have taken place in your life? We ought to be willing to come to the Savior with our hearts open, ready to be changed, ready to be like He is. Yes, it can be difficult. But he loved us enough to go to the cross for us. Sometimes it's like having the capability and the connection, but never really tapping into it. And that's what we need to do. When we say we are saved, And we've asked ourselves that question many times. We say that we have been saved, but our hearts have never been changed. We say that we trust Christ for salvation, but we resist the transformation. How can that be? We say that we are connected to Him, but we are unaltered. Why is that? In reading these passages, it ought to make us think about changing our lives and make sure we are conforming to Christ and being what He would have us to be. You see, the same one who saves our souls also longs to remake our hearts. The one that saves our souls wants to remake our hearts. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. We need to be conformed to the image of His Son. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Having put on the new man after the image of Him that created him. New man. Are we? Is our heart new? The heart of Jesus. God is willing to change us, to redeem us, to change us into the likeness of the Savior. He wants to do that. The question is, will you accept His offer to do that? Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 2 talks about the fact that we need to be looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, fix your eyes upon Jesus. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. So what about your life? Where is your heart? Is your heart like Jesus? Would people say that you have the heart of the Savior? Jesus came to die for us, to redeem mankind. That's you and me. He came to redeem us. So are we going to allow our lives to be remade in Christ Jesus? We have a choice. We can either stay the way that we are, offering excuses, or we can present ourselves to God, asking for a heart like Jesus, thinking in terms of how important a transformation would be in my life and how it would change my relationship with others. So we're back where we started. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. He came to this earth and He humbled Himself. He became what He became for us. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. Notice all the different things that are describing Christ and should be describing us. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind, this attitude in yourselves that also was in Christ, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself of the glory that he had with the Father, and he took on the likeness of man for us. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our hope. So what about your heart? Do you have a heart like Christ? I ask you to compare your heart to the heart of Jesus. Sometimes it takes things in our lives to kind of shake us up, to look again at our commitment and our dedication and our devotion to Christ. But what Jesus has said and what God has said, that they will be with us to the end of the ages. So do you have a heart like Christ? Are you willing to submit your hearts to Jesus so that you can be like he is? You can do that this morning. And it all begins with a decision to follow him, to give your life to him, to become his child. And that takes place by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord of your life, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can do that this morning. Or as a child of God, if you need us to pray with you or pray for you, won't you come while we stand and sing?